Well, it was the old Hoffa's in your driveway scam. We got to dig it up because Hoffa's in your driveway. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Sarah Nix. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass with Katie Tsai announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know? Relive some election year hijinks during All the News That Isn't, music from Ben Taylor, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know? Comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who is so glad he didn't take the replacement ref job, Michael Feldman.
Interception! Interception!
That's the interception sign, I thought. Nobody tells me anything. All right, how are you? Pretty good? Thanks for coming. I didn't get a chance to talk to you beforehand. We had people came in from all over today, I know. Who came from the most exotic locale this morning?
Fond du Lac.
Here. Fond du Lac?
No, no.
Anyone beat Fond du Lac?
Yeah, Alaska.
What?
Charleston, South Carolina, but we moved here a month ago back to the
outside. Oh, so that doesn't count then if you're from Charleston and you live here now. Sorry, we have to eliminate you.
Montoursville, Pennsylvania.
Where?
Montoursville, Pennsylvania.
Okay. If you say so, no, the competition is over. Fond du Lac took it. So anyhow, going back to this Hoffa's in your driveway scam. But before we do that, Katie Tsai, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce Katie Tsai. It's so nice to have her here.
Oh, that's so kind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Hoffa's in your driveway scam. People come to the door, you know, and they say, well, I'm afraid to dig up your driveway. We think Hoffa's in it, so... Then some guy with a ladder and a bucket of tar says, Hoffa's on your roof, and they got to go up there. And that's not radon in the basement, that's Hoffa. I have to dig it up. They come in with the Hoffa sniffing dogs, you know. You and I disappear, we're gone, you know. But not Hoffa. In other news that isn't Hoffa, Sinatra leads in swing states. Come fly with me, hey. If we could find Sinatra, we could find Hoffa, I'm convinced. The Apple chief apologizes for maps from a dead end in Compton. It was the last we heard from him, as a matter of fact. The chef convicted of seriously overcooking his wife. Well, 4 days. Lingerie league refs have returned from the NFL, so wedgies will not be called anymore on the field. That's a relief. Nice to hate refs again for all the right reasons, though, isn't it? I think that's, I feel better. The refs were a little rusty, and they got back in their first gig, you know, the Ravens game. They genuflected for a Hail Mary pass. They'll get the hang of it. Israel's Netanyahu shows the UN Iran's cartoon bomb. Highlight of the week at the UN, I think. They have spy versus spy technology in our hand. The Vatican says, take Jesus' wife, please. Romney retools his pitch by extolling compression for the poor, saying he has great apathy for their plight. Says he knows what it means to take, to be money hungry. Romney will open the debate by guessing Obama's weight. And if he's from Canada. He will suggest, of course, impoverished nations ask their dads for money. Their dad nations. Little Pauly Ryan says he does not need to be unmuzzled. Or something like that. It was hard to tell because of the muzzle. He might have said he was not a muggle. An earlier version of the Mona Lisa has been found. It's the Kardashian Lisa. Unfortunately, she's seated, so you don't see her most painterly aspect. The drug ecstasy said to hinder recall, so that's a win-win. Students students, I say, line up at the University of California, Davis for financial aid pepper spraying. The company that makes the bullet trains in Japan will make Amtrak cars that look like they're going much faster than they are. Bacon shortage due to replacement pigs. Reduced to 3 chicken nuggets for lunch. High schoolers go on a protein rampage in the park. Okay. This must have got turned off. So. And the J.K. Rowling's first adult book has Harry Potter fans ripping their little bodices. That's all the news that is. And thank you so much. And thank you and good night. And to all the ships at sea. There was more, but I thought I'd spare you. Just kind of curious now, is Jad here or not? Because we can...
Well, we're having a switcheroo.
Oh, we're having a
switcheroo? Yes.
Ben is here.
We're doing a...
Ben!
Singer-songwriter Ben Taylor is going to be here for the first
time.
Ben
hour. Taylor has joined us. Ben, how are you doing? Okay? Hey, buddy. What a great... Have a seat there. Yeah, we weren't sure because, Ben, I guess you're at the casino... I didn't get the whole story, and Dwight Yoakam was there, and...
It wasn't Dwight's fault.
No, it wasn't.
No, it had nothing to do with it being his
fault. Are you sure he didn't give you one of his vitamins or
What
something?
He did give me was one of those coupons to that all-you-can-eat buffet.
Was this at Dubuque? Which casino were you at?
This was in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Oh, the Council Bluffs one.
Harrods, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a nice one, too.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Okay, so what did you have? Well, let's not talk about it. You probably don't want to recall, so...
I'll
and
tell you
let's check. Oh, okay, so I got the wrong material here. We can talk about Radiolab if you want. But I do happen to have your dossier here, I want you to know. And David Saw is with you. David Saw, the gentleman, and Ben Taylor. And you know, I was curious, I was looking at your influences, and David is one of your influences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to work with an
Even
influence.
With just my sort of speech pattern.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, he's very English, you know.
Yeah.
He says things like things.
Yeah.
Rather
Say something
things.
Very English.
Sorry?
Say something very English once.
I'm very English.
Okay, yeah. So is that we've woven
That wasn't
way?
A good example. He usually says things like, we can't get away with that, mate.
We can't get away with that, mate.
What was he referring to at that point?
Usually it's us trying to write sort of freaky, sexy songs in our, like sort of a la hip-hop in our very sort of sensitive singer-songwriter folk style.
Yeah.
Usually he says, we can't get away with that.
Yeah. You're not doing the psychedelic funk anymore, or is that...
This neo-psychedelic folk funk? Just yet another in a long succession of attempts to come up with a label to explain the music that I make.
Yeah, that was more in the Ben Taylor band days.
Well, nowadays I call it folk music for mutts.
Folk music for
mutts.
Mutts?
Mutts.
Can you explain or not?
Well, just the inspiration and the range of sort of musical influence is so diverse that
I think
my music no longer sounds like any kind of music.
Yeah. Because I hear a lot of stuff in there. Like Mos Def is in there, most definitely.
Well, I mean, he's not actually on the album.
No, but I mean, the influence.
I've stolen as much from him as I feel safe stealing.
Yeah, so that, yeah. A little bit, and then a little bit of Carly Simon, a little bit of James Taylor, but all of you.
Such a hodgepodge of people in me. Amazing.
No, you,
amazing.
You are
I'm only
you.
6'5", really.
Yeah. Yeah, you are you. And the new album is Listening, and it's Ben Taylor. And is this on it? This tune you're about to do?
We are. We're going
to
do the
If
title.
You're about to do a tune,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe
we're
just...
about to do the title track for you.
Okay, okay. Fantastic. Ben Taylor.
Another number for another year, another blessing disguised by fear. How come everything good seems so hard to hear while I'm listening? I've been trying to find myself, and all I need is a little help. Everybody else is busy helping themselves. Am I listening? Listening. I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer, how much longer? Believing that I don't belong here, how much longer? Tell me. I walked so far that I can't get near. There's so much talking, the point disappears. It's only what's missing that comes through clear. I've been listening. I want too much, so I aim too high. I test the water and feed the fire. So it's no one's wonder my mouth gets dry while I'm listening. Listening. I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer? How much longer? Believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me. I walk so far that I can't get near. There's so much talking, the point disappears. It's only what's missing that comes through clear. I've been listening. I want too much, so I aim too high. I test the water and feed the fire. So it's no one's wonder my mouth gets dry while I'm listening. Listening. I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer? How much longer? Believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me. Well, I was looking for a way to bow out gracefully. But when I try to catch some understanding, everybody wants to race with me. And I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer? How much longer? Believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me how much longer? How much longer?
Very nice. Now, is that Ben Taylor? Listening in the Eastern sense?
In the Eastern sense?
Eastern sense.
As opposed to the Western sense?
You know, as, you know, Hyannisport, sort of round there. Eastern. No, I mean, you know, spiritual.
Really,
listening,
really,
stopping the world and listening.
What it came down to was, it was twofold. Number one, I've been writing songs for a long time, and I'd begun to notice that my songs started sounding very much like the same song, sort of rewritten 100 times. and I began to wonder why. And it's the conclusion I came up with, or that David and I came up with, is that as performers, we're very much in the habit and practice of being listened to by others, but we usually make for pretty inexperienced listeners, to say the very least, ourselves.
Yeah.
So it was something I wanted to get better at. And
yeah.
I figured it was also something that was kind of a joke, because obviously you couldn't make an album of listening. It would just be silent.
You know. Easy listening.
Extraordinarily easy. So easy to listen to, it's almost impossible to get through. But so I thought that it was a little sort of irony to poke at myself, because that was good. I like to have a joke to sort of reduce the somber pressure of being a sensitive singer songwriter.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to call my album Thousand Island Ranch.
That is such a good name.
I did. I thought it was great. It was tasty. Yeah. Everybody could appeal.
And it could come accessible. On the side, like my wife always orders it. For some reason, if they put it on the salad, it's wrong. You know,
little
on the
order
side
of Ben Taylor with dressing on the side.
You know, and actually listening is kind of, as a writer, don't you have to listen? I mean, because, like, one thing I always liked about Paul Simon was he always seemed to be overhearing conversations or snippets here and there and putting them into his song, you know, actual sort of reportage.
Is that how he does that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't talked it over with him. Maybe you have.
I, as a songwriter, I think I'm a terrible journalist.
Terrible journalist.
I mean, I try to write the truth.
Yeah.
That seems the most important thing. But yeah, I can't. I don't do very good. So I don't keep track very well of what gets said.
So if someone in the casino says something you think is hilarious, you don't write it down and it's a song.
No, I don't even listen. They say, don't eat the food.
Aww. Got another one for us here?
What's that?
Do you have another song for us? Or?
I knew you'd forgive me because I am sort of in the throes of what I believe is food poisoning.
Yeah, no, I think you're just about out of it. Just takes 24 hours, you know.
Yeah.
So 18 to go.
This is a song that David and I wrote when we had been really badly overstaying our welcome with some incredibly gracious hosts. And, I mean, so badly overstaying it that what started as a three-day visit turned into like a month-long. We were squatting in their house with them still in it, you know. And after a while came, David and I said, we really have to do something, you know, better than flowers and candy to let them know that we realize we're being rude and we're staying anyway. So we wrote this song for them. One, two. Just another day, just another day, I'm here where I belong. Other place, any other way, I'd sing a different song. You wouldn't sing along. Would you? Would you? Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do, oh, well, I could find a way, and I could learn the lines, it isn't hard to do. But I'm so happy here, I think I'd rather stay with you. Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. So good so far from the very start. Everywhere I go, I seem to lose my heart. Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do. Oh, for the moment I can't find a reason why I need to move along. Tomorrow doesn't mind that yesterday is just my favorite Beatles song. My favorite Beatles song. Ooh, ooh. Worlds are made of paper,
time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do. Oh, just another day. Just another day.
Ben Taylor, David Saw.
You're listening.
New album, Listening.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, Michael Feldman.
I wanted to see Katie.
Hi, Michael.
All right there. Okay, we're in the audience now, is what's happening. Things are proceeding as normal. All screwed up. And let's see, April Allen is here from Storm Lake, Iowa. Okay. Oh, these are the radio students. Is that right? We have a group of radio students. Are they all from Storm Lake? You're all from Storm Lake, pretty much? April is, where's April? Hey, April, how you doing on the end?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. In radio, what are you majoring in within radio?
Digital media, so it's kind of a little of everything.
Oh, okay, I don't know what that is. Let's see if I know what you're doing. What your name is?
I'm Clark Coons, and I'm actually computer science and math. I just do radio for fun.
Radio for fun? Well, that's no reason. But what sort of radio do you do for fun?
I'm the music director, so I add all the new music onto the station and just keep things up and running.
Like what are you liking right now?
The new Yellow Card album was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
They rule.
Yeah. They do.
Do you hear a single?
Yeah. Here I Am Alive was a good one.
Here I Am Alive.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're?
Annie.
Annie? Just use the one name on your...
Annie Riva, if you want to get specific about it.
Are you on air or behind the scenes?
Both. I'm assistant station manager, but I do a radio show with Faith. She's over there.
Yeah. What's the show?
The radio show?
Yeah.
We just are DJs. I don't know. We don't have a
you
title.
Play stuff?
We play some music, take requests and things.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. And any certain genre of music?
Everything.
Everything is a genre?
Anything they request, I guess.
Yeah.
It's pretty
Left to your druthers, what would you be playing?
Mumford & Sons.
Yes.
Mumford & Sons, yes. Very big right now, aren't they, Mumford & Sons? I thought it was a show on for many years on in a junkyard, but I guess it's a different guide. And then, okay, and you are?
I'm Carl Aronson.
Carl, what's your end of this?
For the radio station, I'm the master interviewer.
Master interviewer. What's the trick to your masterly technique?
I just got the title. I don't really know what it means.
That's your actual title?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, that's good. Well, I'm sure that'll work for you. And you're?
Liz Fay.
Liz, and what do you do?
I'm the co-sales director.
Co-sales, a very important part of the radio station, sales.
Yeah. Boring, but necessary.
Without you, none of these people. He would not be a master interviewer without you.
And I am Rudy Pineda. I actually have a radio show too. Mine's a more of a specialty show. I play more hip hop.
Hip hop.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And who are you liking hip hop wise?
I'm into more like the '90s hip hop.
Oh, old school.
Old school.
What do you like, old school?
Man, I would have to say Wu-Tang Clan or Cypress Hill.
Wu-Tang Clan? Are you kidding? I don't know Wu-Tang Clan. no, kidding.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, so.
Cool. Are you with this group?
No.
Okay. No, I'm Crazy Claire, and I just like the radio. Oh. I'm a big fan of the radio.
Crazy Claire?
Crazy Claire.
Okay, and you're.
I'm Crazy Claire's husband.
Okay. They're not related. What about these kids here from BVU? KBVU Radio. Yes, right. In Storm Lake. Is it in Storm Lake? Storm Lake, Iowa. The future of radio. All right, that's great. Oh, yeah, here's Crazy Claire. Mad City on a Ball in Space. Earth. Oh, that's where you're from?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, okay. That's how you got the name then, I guess. What?
Read her question.
What was her question? How come Grays don't want to be here on Earth? Okay, that's why I didn't read it. I don't understand. All right. Okay. Okay. These are all the radio kids here. Storm Lake. Anyone here is not from Storm Lake and doing a radio show? You ever tried Umami's pork buns? Alexandra Ulisi? Ulisi? Well, that was close, though. You should have given it to me. You shouldn't have corrected me. You should have given it to me. Yeah, corporate shill?
Yep.
Is that your shill for the pork buns?
No, not a shill for the pork buns, yeah. But I should be because they're one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried them?
What are you shill for?
Well, I actually just got a brand new job. I'd rather not say anything about that right now.
That's nice talking with you. Just wants to talk about pork buns to a Jew, no less. All right. No, I would eat pork buns if they were here. Tammy Dettinger, 29th wedding anniversary on the 29th of September. It's the golden anniversary. Tammy Dettinger. Where is Tammy? Oh, get you to stand up. Is this the affected gentleman? Yes, here they are. The Dettingers. Come on down here. Let's give them a little love. Give them a little love. 29 years. The golden anniversary. That's pretty amazing, actually.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
How's it going so far? Pretty good?
Oh, really great.
Yeah. Any surprises still after 29 years?
We took a stilt walking class a couple of weeks ago.
What a couple. See, the couple that takes stilt walking stays together because who else is going to do that except one of them, I guess. And how'd that go?
It went really well. He's great at it.
Yeah, I balance really well.
Yeah. Have you done it before on stilts?
No.
First time for you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I fell down.
You fell down? You feel you have a future in stilts? Or?
I would like to, but it's finding the time to make myself a good pair of stilts.
You don't. You probably there's stilts for sale. I don't. There's got to be stilts.
Yeah, there probably are. I just haven't. Well,
what do you do besides stilt walking? What do you do for a living?
I make tools for other people to use.
Any sorts of tools?
Particular. I work for an educational institution, the UW-Madison, and so I build things for researchers.
Well, that's really amazingly cool. And what do you do?
I'm self-employed.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer.
Oh, you are?
Yes, and I clean people's homes.
Yeah. Well, what a great couple. 29 years. 29 fabulous years. They're still walking together. They're still walking through life. Katie Tsai, what do we have for them? For
Let's
their 29th anniversary. Their
How about
golden
this?
Anniversary.
This is a good anniversary
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Add warmth to the chill of autumn days with award-winning Wisconsin wines. Like Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumier from the Wallersheim Winery. How about
yes.
that?
Yes. All right. Thank you both. Congratulations. Nice to have you here. What a way to spend your 29th anniversary at a What Do You Know show. I think, how are we doing time-wise there?
I think we're doing just fine.
Well, we're doing
what
good.
Do
okay.
I know, though, Michael? I've never done this show before.
I know. I got to ask somebody. I don't know who to...
Seems good to me.
What is your favorite natural disaster? I don't think so. more of these kids from the radio station here. They're everywhere. That's about this here. How much do you think the rate of mute button usage has gone up this month? Do you mean on this show? Sandy?
No, I was meaning on the TV.
Oh, on the TV.
I found the mute button.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant that little delay button that we have on this show, that went up if I say something accidentally. But nothing's accidental with me, so it rarely happens. You know, I don't mean to step on your purse.
Watch the garlic.
Watch your garlic? You know, I've had a lot of invitations over the years, but I've never gotten to watch your garlic. Okay, I'll watch your garlic. Give me a clove and I'll look at it. No, I'm just kidding you. Oh, nice garlic. Yeah. You were saying something. Well, can you stand up here so I can... I don't want to bend over the garlic here.
I was saying that before this month, I wasn't really sure where the mute button was on my controller. You know, because usually you can just hit the down arrow on the volume, and that's quick enough. Yeah. Suddenly, it's not quick enough. No, you want it right away. Yeah, so
I... You know, I always have the damn remote upside down, so I change the channels when I'm trying to mute.
And then there's so many buttons that, you know, the odds of actually hitting the mute button, you know, it's 50.
Every remote is slightly different.
But right. Yeah. You know,
my mother once said to me, she said, son, you'll find every remote.
Living in a communist country, the mute button would always be in the same place.
Yes. It's a good argument for it, I think. Finally, a good argument for communism is the unification of mute buttons.
Why is it the smallest button on the controller?
I don't know. Is this a routine here? I kind of know. This is a good 5 minutes of stand-up.
It's clear in the last month that I never knew where the mute button was.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is why are you muting so much? What is it that you're muting?
It's the political ads. I can't stand them.
Oh, I thought you were watching the Kardashians or something.
No, I don't even know what channel they're on. No.
We're on all the channels now.
Okay. Well, I've never run across
the political ads?
Yeah, the political ads. You have to hit the mute button right away.
Yeah,
otherwise you go crazy.
Okay.
It's how many more days?
What, of this?
Of this mute button usage. I only have to go how many more days?
Well, what about the robot calls? The robot calls are what gets me, because you can't mute your phone necessarily.
Just don't answer your phone. That's my advice.
That's what I've taken to doing.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, pardon me. I stepped on something. Oh, I stepped on yours, too. Okay. You guys okay? Are you taking movies of me, ma'am?
I am. Yes, we're from England, so I want to take it back with me.
Oh, you think that makes it all right? You're from England. And you can just walk around here with your fancy camera taking movies.
That's right. Yes.
I hope there's something better on your movie reel there. What else is on there? Screen it? You want to screen it? Let's see what you've picked up so far in our country.
Nothing blue. It's all right.
Are you sure? Some of the tapes you got at home.
No, very clean.
There's nothing dirty about it. You're a married couple. There's nothing wrong. A little spice thing. And you're here on vacation? Or?
We are, yes. 5 weeks in your country, yes.
All the country, that's right. You may not think of it as that.
Yeah, we're moving on a week on Monday. We're going over towards Las Vegas and then on to the national parks. But in the meantime, we're staying with Rotarian friends that I met 18 months ago, and some of them came and stayed with us over the Olympics. Wonderful. We love you.
So this is revenge for their overstaying their welcome during the Olympics. Are these the people here?
No. This is a friend we've just met, but we're staying with other friends, so he's great.
And they happen to be from Madison, so that's why you're here, basically?
Correct.
Because Madison usually isn't on the tourist trail.
Oh, it's a lovely place. I like it. I like it a lot.
Does it remind you of anything back in England?
No.
Where back in England are you from?
Essex, near Chelmsford.
Oh, very nice.
London, yeah.
Very nice. It's got a little upscale, isn't it? Pricey these days?
Oh. Yes, it is. Yes, I guess so, yeah.
Do you have property taxes there? If the property goes up in value, do you have to pay more taxes in England? Is that how it works?
In effect, yeah. We pay what they call rates over there, so, yeah.
I don't want to. I'm sorry. I say something like that. Isn't that a stupid thing to bring up when you're talking to people? Ask about their property tax rates. Master interviewer, I hope you're noticing. Why would I do that? I don't even know why. I'm just sort of wondering because Essex, I thought, is kind of a pricey neighborhood now. It wasn't always, probably, when you first moved in, right?
That's right.
Low class. You probably just lived in squatted in the place, right? When you first came there in the 60s, right?
Might have done.
what field are you in back home?
We look after the old folk.
You do?
Yes. That's my living.
Just one folk or more than one, multiple old folk?
A few of them around the country, around England, yeah.
Oh, very nice. She's taking pictures again. You know, this is, we have homeland security in this country. And you are from an ally nation. However, I'm a little alarmed at the fact that you will record almost anything. So Vegas next? Have you been to Vegas before?
I have, yes, but James hasn't.
James hasn't? No.
No, I have. No, I want to expose you back in England, you see. Make you big out there.
Please expose me in England. Like Harry. Expose me like Harry back.
Correct, yeah.
Harry and Kate. I'd like that kind of exposure back in England.
I don't know them. Harry and Kate. Oh, sorry. Ah, Harry and Kate. Oh.
Yes. Well, not they weren't together at the time, fortunately. Or that really would have been.
She's a bit slow.
I was a bit slow there.
Nice to have you here. You are. Your name is?
I'm Catherine. Catherine Varley.
James. James Towers.
Thank you very much. Our friends from England. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. I want to see those films, however. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do.
Yes.
Isn't it?
I believe it,
Katie?
Is what you do.
Okay. All right. I think pretty much what we do. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and who cannot participate in the quiz. And this is where you come in again, although you will not reveal what you do now for a living. Your name is?
Alex Alesi. Okay.
And you want to face them? Because
Oh, certainly.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Four disclaimers.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should just get their own shows. Old Mars River, that old Mars River. Not too far off key, right?
No, it was good.
Okay. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Itching for a fight. Thank you very much. Oh, you can have that. Oh, I don't want it. Take it with you. A little memory. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. That's right. You say you've always wanted to. You say you think you can win something on a quiz. James, are you saying that you want to try this quiz?
Oh, no.
I'd be very frightened.
Okay, we don't want to frighten him. International relations being what they are. Yes, this gentleman back here, this young man in the red, whatever it is, Atari. Oh, you don't seem to know any of those anymore. Come on down here this way, son. I call you son because once you hit 60, you can say that to anybody. You notice that? To call people son. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
Call women dear, men son. It's I gotta stop doing it.
Yeah, growing up higher.
How are you?
Good.
And you are?
Rusty Sietsema.
Rusty what?
Sietsema.
Sietsema. I knew a Sietsema.
Could be.
No, I'm telling you, I did. Why don't you? And what do you do these days, Rusty?
I'm an electrical engineer.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Around here?
In Holland, Michigan.
Rusty, give me one good reason. Good. One good reason you should play this quiz, Rusty.
I'm the tallest person here.
Big deal. All right, Rusty. Come on this way. It's the best way to go. Walk this way if you would, Rusty. Electrical engineer. Seats him up. Have a seat there, if you would, please. Make yourself to home.
And I'm not on stilts.
Yeah, I know.
How tall are you?
You never get tired of tall jokes, too, right?
Never.
Okay. I'm not going to make a single one. Sure are big, though. I mean, you're about, what, 6'6"?
Yeah, it depends who's asking.
Yeah.
The public answer is 6'7".
6'7", okay. Well, you probably lose an inch after a while. But you're not at that point yet.
Right. Now, yeah,
I used to be 6'6". No, look,
I believe it. I believe it.
I'm down to 5'10", and it's really getting... I'm starting to worry about it. It's a little alarming, actually. All right, Rusty, and you're an electrical engineer, and you're in Holland, did you say?
Yes.
And how'd the Tulip Festival go this year because of the weather?
Well, it was kind of a STEM fest.
STEM fest.
they were great about 6 weeks earlier than they should have been.
And are you here for the Victorian conference, literature conference that they're having?
No.
Here?
No, here visiting my wife's sister and her fiancé.
Oh, yeah? And are they here?
Her fiancé is.
Yeah. But the sister couldn't make it? What, she's too good for this?
They're out at the farmer's market, yeah.
Okay. Oh, they are, okay.
Yeah, I'm buying grilled cheese and all those sorts of things.
Do they have grilled cheese at
like
the farmer's
market? Like the fried cheese.
Oh,
and
you mean the curds and stuff?
Yeah.
Don't they have that in Michigan?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you know, you go in the supermarket here and you have like a whole aisle of cheese.
Yeah.
You go back home and you have like a small 6-foot section.
Uh-huh. What's your point?
Well,
I bet you don't have beer
cheese.
Either, do you?
No, we don't. Not that much beer either. Section? Not that beer, not that much cheese. You're happy over here, I guess.
I really don't. I thought Michigan was very much like Wisconsin in that regard, the cheese and beer thing. No?
No, not so much.
No?
Above, we're trying to be like you because we just repealed our helmet law. So.
Oh, that's good. That's a good start. That's a good start for anything. What do you eat there then if you don't eat cheese and beer?
Boy, lots of tulips.
Yeah.
That's why it was STEM Fest.
Yeah.
I guess just normal stuff. Yeah.
And as an electrical engineer, what exactly do you do?
I work a lot in water and wastewater.
So in wastewater? Isn't that a little dangerous with the electrical and the water? And it's a
gas. But a lot of controls behind pump stations and elevated tanks. And
wow, that's pretty cool.
Did you
learn that at Michigan, or where'd you go to
school? I went to Grand Valley State.
Grand Valley State, yes. Grand Valley State. I think we did a show at Grand Valley State at one point, too. Winter, Michigan. Maybe that's where I saw my first Sietsma.
Could be.
Yeah. Are there many Sietsmas?
Well, there's a few. There's a couple different families, but we're growing.
Because I do. Maybe from Kenosha or something. Any in Kenosha?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's really... I got to search my memory banks. Rusty, you know how this works? Someone out there plays along with you. Have you heard the show before?
I have.
Okay. General knowledge kind of thing?
Yeah.
And someone out there plays along with you. And how does a person out there, Katie Tsai, get to play along with Rusty here?
Hold it! This is an encore performance of What Do You Know, so there is no need to call now.
Huh? Isn't this better than Channel 3 ever was? You couldn't say that on Channel 3, I bet you.
Oh, you can say a lot of things on TV, Michael. And answer this qualifying question.
What?
Don't you have a qualifying question?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. You know, the lines are already filled, though, you know. So people call without waiting for the qualifying question. How do you feel about that?
Well, then how do you qualify them?
Interesting point.
Well,
here's Steve from Pittsburgh, Kansas. Steve, hi, Steve. What's the question?
I don't know the question.
Aha! My point exactly, Steve. You did not wait to hear the qualifying question before you called in.
That's because I've been trying to get on your show for 10 years.
Okay.
Oh.
We're gonna let you go on that then. Here is the qualifying question. A Canadian police officer was among those arrested in the bust of a major what smuggling ring in Canada? It's been in all the news now. Maybe not all the news, a lot of the news.
Some of the news,
some of the time.
I'm a news junkie, and I'm sorry to say I'm not sure. I do believe it was a sex slave trading scandal, something like that. I don't know.
No, not in the least, Steve.
Thank you, Michael. Love your show.
Thank you very much. Another 10 years, I'll talk to you again. And wait for the question next time. Though Steve is in North Prairie, Wisconsin, who also did not wait to hear the question. Have you heard it now, Steve?
I have.
Okay. And what do you think the scandal was, the smuggling in Canada?
I'll have to guess American beer.
American beer. Smuggling it in or out of Canada? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. I'm sorry, Steve.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you. And Mark's in Topeka, Kansas, who also called first. Mark, did you hear about this thing in Canada, smuggling thing?
I didn't hear about it, but I'm going to guess exotic animals.
Okay, no. I'm going to guess you're wrong on that. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Jason is in Liberal, Missouri.
Liberal.
Yep. Liberal. I'm sorry, Liberal, Missouri. Hey, Jason.
How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Okay. Just getting up. You sound a little groggy.
No. I got up about 6 to take the son to debate.
Oh, he's got a debate at 6 in the morning?
Yeah, they have to get on the bus at 7.
Oh, what's the debate? Did you work with him on it?
Actually, the debate was, should the federal government spend more money on infrastructure?
Oh, that's a good one. That's worth getting up at 6 and taking a bus for.
Very riveting.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, he'll do good, I'm sure. Did you hear about this Canadian officer was arrested and some others from a smuggling ring in Canada? The question is, what were they smuggling?
I didn't, but I would guess maybe moose.
Okay. Talk to you later. Back to bed for you. You had to get up for the kid going on a bus to debate. Kelly's online from Fenimore, Wisconsin. Hey, Kelly.
Whoa!
Let me say that again. Kelly's in line from Fenimore, Wisconsin. Not as big this time. You know, it's the first time Fenimore gets a big reaction. Are you from Fenimore?
Good.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Who are you?
Jenny and Laura Wackershelder.
Jenny what?
And Laura Wackershelder.
Wackershelder? The Wackershelders are here.
Hey,
Kelly.
Cool. I think I'm picking corn behind your place.
Cool. Okay. Behind the Wackershelders?
Yeah, I'm in that neighborhood.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Kelly, did you hear about this? Did you hear? It's a small world, isn't it? When you come right down here. This happened in England, too, I bet, too. So many. Yeah. The Wackershelders of Essex. You probably know them as well.
Oh, yeah.
The Canadian police officers arrested a bunch of people arrested in a smuggling ring. What were they smuggling? They were smuggling something in to Canada.
I was going to guess moose horns, but they fish now.
Why would they smuggle moose or fish into Canada? I mean, you know, I really think they have a lot of moose, is whatever the plural is, meese, and fish. And no, that's not, sorry. Thanks, though.
Do I get a D plus for trying?
Yeah, you take whatever grade you want. Pretty much pass fail here. And the Wackershelders say hello. Okay, and Jeff's on the line from Fort Smith, Arkansas. Nobody here.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, pretty good. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm pretty good myself. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Got a big morning planned, or?
Yes, we do, actually.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, it's my son's 5th birthday.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're having a big superhero party on later this afternoon.
So you're not from Essex originally, are you?
No, I'm from the deep south.
Oh, I thought you were English. I can always tell an accent. I'm trained in it because I'm in radio. I'm a master interviewer. Jeff.
I'm actually from New Zealand.
You're from New Zealand. See, I knew there was something there, and I thought it was pretty much New Zealand. Jeff, the smuggling, what are they smuggling into Canada? Big scandal.
Across the border from where? Into Canada?
Into Canada from America.
Wouldn't be cheese, would it?
It would be. It would be cheese. Cheese gets applause, too. Cheese and Fenimore, all you got to say around here. Yes. How did you know that, Jeff?
Just a font of all knowledge, you know, one of those.
So you Googled it.
Trades, master of none.
Yeah. You Googled it, did you?
No.
No, you didn't know. Well, that's good then. Yeah,
I
cheese.
I saw it on the news during the week.
Oh, yeah, because there's a surcharge or something, or a stipend. What do they call that on cheese?
Tax.
Or duty.
Duty. Foreign import.
Cheese duty. Nothing worse than a cheese duty, I'll tell you. Oh, boy.
Cheese duty.
Those are bad ones. Jeff, what do you do down there in Fort Smith?
I work at the local university.
Oh, you do?
Way Fort Smith, and I'm the director of their lifelong learning program.
Of what?
Lifelong learning.
Lifelong learning? That's learning for your life?
Yeah,
your long life?
Fun, short, non-credit community classes.
Oh, fantastic. Jeff, this is Rusty.
Hi, Jeff.
Rusty, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm short.
That's okay. I'll try not to look down on you.
All right. Thanks for getting those jokes out of the way. We can proceed here on a whole different level. You guys are a team now, Jeff and Rusty, long and short of it. And
first person that says mutton, Jeff gets it.
Okay, right. And Katie, Asai, what are the categories?
The categories are
yes.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends. Those are your categories,
all right.
Michael.
All right, Jeff, let you pick first one. What would you like?
Let's go with what you should have learned in school.
All right, school then it is. Frass. Frass is the excrement of what?
Is that with a PH?
You're going to look it up if I tell you how to spell it, man. Let's just go with the pronunciation. Frass is the excrement of what is a type of animal or a living thing?
Oh, goodness, Rusty. I think, aren't you in that excrement business?
Oh, boy. Do we have choices?
No. You should have learned this in school. Frass.
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 Yeah.
Frass.
Don't step on the frass. Would mean stepping on
the
what?
Frass?
I'm guessing something small.
Yeah. Yes. I know you know, man, but you're not on the quiz right
now. You think like a hamster, maybe?
Hamster frass?
I
any
have
idea,
no idea,
Jeff?
I have no idea.
No.
Not opposed to sassafras?
No. No. It's an insect excrement. It's called frass. It's a nice way of saying it. Instead of saying bug poop or something, you can say, oh,
well,
frass. An interesting variety of frass. So that would be, Katie, the score? Then?
Oh, the score would be one wrong.
Oh.
Right? I thought it was a little soon to weigh in on the score, but that's it, right? One,
yes.
One wrong.
Yes. And how many right then?
Zero.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You're doing really great. You're doing great at this, Katie. You're a natural in this whole thing. All right, let's go. What's left there as far as the categories?
Well, we have current events, people, places, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Rusty, what would you like?
Oh, boy. How about science?
Science it is. Okay. All right, with candlelight and light jazz playing at Hardee's, diners left 3, 12, or 18% more food on their plates. And got out of there. It's an experiment here. Here's the setup. Okay, Hardee's, you know Hardee's.
Uh-huh.
They put candlelight out in Hardee's, a nice tablecloth, perhaps. They played light jazz, such as this. And they find that diners leave a certain amount of food on their plates, more than usual. Usually they clean their plates at Hardee's, as you know.
Yeah.
If there are
yeah.
plates at Hardee's, I don't know if there are plates.
Hey, what do you think, Rusty? Probably
leave
the figurines?
3, 12, or 18% more food left on the plates, which means...
Because I know that restaurant in Los Angeles that you eat in the dark, they tend to leave a lot of food.
Because they can't find it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. Is middle of the road always a safe answer?
Not always.
Yeah, let's go for the big one.
Oh, 18%, you're saying?
18%, yeah. What
does
do you think?
He has some good insights, I think.
That sounds good for me.
18%. 175 calories not eaten because they are eating slower and they want to get out of there because of the light jazz.
Now they're even. One right, one wrong.
What's left there, Katie?
Left is current events, people, places, odds and ends.
Well,
okay.
Let's go for places.
Places it is. Could be places. Anywhere. Yes. Only the Brits seem to have them. What is a boffin? A boffin.
We don't. That's a very smart person.
You'd let me. I was going to give you a choice.
I assume you're saying B-O-F-F-I-N?
Boffin, yeah.
Yeah, that's a brainy intellectual person.
You have them in New Zealand as well?
Yes, we do. Split the Atom, for example, Sir Ernest Rutherford.
Yeah, he was a boffin?
He was a boffin.
So you're saying it's not an insult, it's actually an accolade.
It's an accolade.
Accolade. You agree with that?
He came up with that without choices, so.
Yes,
I
that's right.
That's
a boffin,
right.
A scientist, intellectual, or academe, or someone who knows what they're doing. Technically.
That was handy to have an international person there on your team, Rusty.
That worked out real well.
Yeah. What's the score there, Katie?
So now two. Now they're up 2-1. Two right.
And what's left?
Well, let's see. I think I fell down on the job there because what did you just answer?
What was it?
What category?
Places.
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 Okay,
yes.
That would leave current events, people, and odds and ends.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, boy.
Rusty. Pressure's on.
Those two places.
I mean, I'm sorry, don't do people.
Yeah, let's, can we try odds and ends?
Odds and
ends?
Yeah,
let's go for it.
Yeah, fine with me. Night parrot.
Oh, boy.
Night parrot. Is that a euphemism or an actual bird?
A night parrot.
Yeah.
A night parrot? N-I-G-E?
Night parrot. The phrase night parrot, N-I-G-H-T, parrot. Is that a euphemism, some kind of a expression, or an actual bird?
He's such a night parrot.
A night parrot.
Oh, Rusty, I'd lean to it's an actual bird.
Actual
yeah,
bird?
I could go with that, I think. Actual bird.
You're leaning towards that, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Is that based on some experience with actual night parrots? Or?
Yeah, in fact, we do have nocturnal parrots in New Zealand.
See, this is absolutely amazing that you were the guy picked for this quiz, because that's right, it's an actual bird.
All right.
They're rare. They're found in Queensland, mostly, in Australia. Congratulations. You guys have won.
Wow. All right. That's super exciting.
What have they won, Katie?
They win different things. So, Rusty, you win you join the Wisconsin Dairy Artisan Revolution with an outstanding assortment of handcrafted organic cheeses from Imagination. You know it, a European-style cheese shop with Wisconsin pride on Madison's historic Capitol Square. And Jeff, get your day off to a good start with a satisfying cup of Steep and Brew breakfast blend, and carry that good feeling through the day with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Okay, now I think they both get another, the big prize,
yeah,
right? Okay, okay. And each of you can dream, however momentarily, of striking it rich with a complimentary size bag of rough mining gemstones from the Cave of the Mounds, a national natural landmark, and laugh your troubles away playing, what do you know, the party game, including the redoubtable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Good man. You got a fan.
Thank you. We'll get that to you.
We'll be back live next week at Monona Terrace in Madison. For a full schedule and ticket information, just click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. There's good news for Feldman fans. Michael's book, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, is now available for Kindle, Nook, and all other ebook devices. For more information, click over to notmuch.com. Stay tuned. Coming up, we'll step into the Radio Lab with NPR's Jad Abumrad, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Hey, I'm Sarah Nix, welcoming you back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Katie Tsai announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we talk Slinky with Radiolab host Jad Abumrad, sort through another batch of memos, and play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I got a lot of things on that TiVo. What's the point of having a TiVo anyhow? Because you never actually look at this stuff.
But you could if you wanted to.
Well, it's like you archive it in case, you know, if there was a volcanic eruption, we're all covered, and they uncover it, in 10,000 years, my TiVo
You know, Jeff has like three TiVos.
You have three TiVos?
He's got a lot of TiVos.
No, I have one.
What do you record? Like everything? Yeah. What's the point of recording everything? Why don't you just...
I don't know.
Do you watch it ever?
I try to.
You try to?
It's hard.
What do you have mostly on there? Boxing and stuff like that?
All sorts of things.
Yeah. All sorts of things?
Boxing, dinosaur shows.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an aside then. We didn't... Because we didn't hear from you earlier, so that's good. You know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. It's time once again for Thanks for the Memos.
I can't wait.
You'll have to. All right. No, actually, you don't have to. Okay. Okay. This is the actual memo. It's the problems. this I can't read the name of the individual, but some memos... Most of them are general thing, complaints about behavior of office workers and that sort of thing, factory workers. This one is a, it's about an individual. It's more or less a critique of one individual made it's from a variety store. That's all I can say about it. And it actually depicts everything this individual has done wrong in the course of doing his job, which is unusual in a memo, and so it's a classic. We'll call it memo regarding BF. Okay, reads as follows. Problems with BF in our store are listed below. Please be alert for bad behavior and report any further situations to our security personnel. One, June 15th, took 24 boxes of condoms and randomly put them in people's carts when they weren't looking. Two, July 2nd, set off all the alarm clocks and housewares to go off at 5-minute intervals. Three, July 7th, made a trail of tomato juice on the floor leading to the restroom. Four, July 19th, walked up to an employee and told her in an official tone, code 3 in housewares, and watched what happened. August 4th, went to the service desk and asked to put a bag of M&Ms on layaway. September 14th, moved a caution wet floor sign to a carpeted area. September 15th, set up a tent in the camping department and told other shoppers he'd invite them in if they'd bring pillows from the bedding department. September 23rd, when a clerk asks if they can help him, he begins to cry and ask, "Why can't you people just leave me alone?" October 4th, looked right into the security camera, used it as a mirror, and picked his nose. November 10th, while handling guns in the hunting department, asked the clerk if he knows where the antidepressants are. December 3rd, we're almost through the year here. December 3rd, darted around the store suspiciously, loudly humming the Mission Impossible theme. December 6th, in the auto department, practiced his Madonna look using different size funnels. December 18th, that's going to be hard to follow that. December 6th. December 18th, hid in a clothing rack, and when people browsed through, yelled, "Pick me, pick me." December 21st, when an announcement came over the loudspeaker, he assumes the fetal position and screams, "No, no, it's those voices again." Whose laugh is it? I want you back again. Yes, please keep coming to the show. December 23rd, went into a fitting room, shut the door and waited a while, then yelled very loudly, "There is no toilet paper in here." All right. And again, I guess that's it. Okay, again, if you encounter Mr. F, please watch him and inform the security personnel if he seems to be acting inappropriately. Thank you very much for that memo. We'd like to be updated on anything he does, if in fact he exists. Oh, and Katie, where can they send those memos? Anything else they want to talk about, they can write us just in general, too. How would they do that?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, mm-hmm. subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com. They can post it there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just if they want to send a letter, they want physical mail.
Do people send physical mail?
We occasionally get physical mail.
Yeah. Okay, if they want to do that, they can send it to 821 University Avenue, mm-hmm. Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the Memos.
Yeah.
That's where they should send.
Isn't it funny to say physical mail? You know, I mean, in this day and age.
Yeah. I don't really get any anymore.
No. Well, flyers.
Bills.
You get the, you know, those coupons things all the time. The shoppers. Get the shopper all the time.
Do you?
I got a stack of shoppers. I leave right in the doorway there, you know, and can't even close the door anymore. Shoppers. Oh, yes, he's here. Okay, Jed Abumrad. Abumrad, ladies and gentlemen, from the great show, Radio Lab. He's here. We didn't know if you were going to be here or not. And then Ben Taylor was here, and he wasn't feeling good. Hey, Jed, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
It's great to see you.
Now, are those real memos? Yes. People really send
those
in?
That's an actual memo, but wow. We don't think BF is an actual person. He's too good to be true. We think the guy who actually did those things probably wrote the memo and just, you know, extol his own virtues and so forth. I was going to bring you a light bulb so you could do that light bulb thing.
That picture, we have a publicity show photo with the light bulb.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that picture.
Can you actually make the bulb light just by holding it through mental power?
If my other hand is touching a light socket, probably.
It's good. Show's doing great. Radio Lab, people love it. You're on tour now with a radio show. How does that work?
People
just come and watch. You darken the room and you.
A lot of it is kind of like what you're doing right now. You know, it's telling stories, improvising. But we've got some dancers who are dancing around doing some shadow puppetry.
You have dancers?
We do have dancers. Yeah, we don't dance because that would be, I think, offensive.
No, Krawlwitch, you would want to see dancing.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Krawlwitch, you wouldn't want to see dancing.
No, or I don't. Yeah, we stick to sitting in seats and speaking.
He doesn't still do that
these
thing with the anatomically correct Ken and Barbie dolls, does he?
No. But he transposes that wit and curiosity into subjects of light and dark and seeing and sight. That's what we're doing in this.
The Groucho nose and glasses. He doesn't still do that, does he?
No.
Okay. You got to watch him.
Yeah. Some things will come out of his mouth during live performances that are always keep us on our toes.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. And actually, you're going to be... You're in Madison. Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, we're in Madison tomorrow at the Overture. And tonight we're in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just came from Chicago. So
cool.
We're doing a Wisconsin situation. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
I've been seeing stuff, and I think, well, Jed ought to see this.
Well, okay.
For example, this eternal clock that keeps time after the universe is dead.
How does that work?
I don't know. I thought you would know,
you
man.
Want me to explain that to you.
Yeah, explain that to me.
Is it some kind of quantum situation where the particles beat at a certain periodicity?
It's a space-time crystal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where does one find such thing?
Well, it doesn't exist yet, but they're going to build it so that it's nice to know that even if the universe disappears, there will be still a clock. Right, there'll be a clock on it, so we'll know, you know.
Well, they have these clocks, I think, in the mountains of California somewhere that chime once every 10,000 years, which is kind of like a comment on time and how things get so fast, but, you know, time is very...
Where is that? In California.
Somewhere in California, in the mountains.
That figures. I'm not going to wait for that, believe me. I got things to do. I got, 4D space crystal from an MIT physicist... was theoretical, but now someone at Berkeley, of course, at Lawrence Livermore, Berkeley. I'm going to give this to you because maybe you can make one of these on your show. It's kind of thing that you guys might do here. There's a dialogue. Okay. It's just a tube.
It seems like we need our tall engineer for this one because this looks kind of like mechanical.
Yeah.
And this one looks like a wormhole of some sort.
No, that's just an illustration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is actually just, it's very simple. It's just here and it's this revolves endlessly around it.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
No. That's not my show. That's your show. You got to pretend like you know what you're talking about. I don't have to. See, that's the beauty of doing this thing. All right, what we got here? I got some other stuff for you, too.
Okay.
I'm very excited
Bring
about
it up.
This is the Jewish diaspora written in DNA. That's for Clayton. Is Clayton here? My brother Clayton's supposed to be here.
Clayton?
No, okay. When Clayton comes, that's different. Questing, a host-seeking behavior used by hungry ticks hankering for blood, something you could use.
What do the ticks do exactly? I know that ticks stand on top of blades of grass and wait for years.
Yes, that's it, exactly. The tick climbs to the tip of a blade. You're so good at this.
Yes,
I wasn't going to stump you. I'm not trying to stump you, really. I thought these would be great show ideas. And waits with its four limbs outstretched. When the animal brushes past, the tick climbs aboard. Depending upon the tick species, various cues can trigger questing behaviors.
So yes, questing, that's what it's called. I've heard about this.
You see,
they go
cool.
into a real low power mode for years and years until a cow walks by, and then they grab on.
Yeah.
And then it's go time.
I don't think for years.
Well, really?
I mean, how long does a tick last?
I think actually they can go for a long, long time. I don't know if yours is right. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. And they quest according to body heat vibrations or passing host exhaled carbon dioxide. Here, take that one.
All right.
That's a show.
I'm going to hang on to this.
I'm telling you, that's a show. And then this other thing, I thought of you when I saw this, was about the boa constrictors and the inclusion body disease causing bizarre behavior.
I don't know about that one.
This is where pythons can tie themselves into knots.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of anxiety or what?
No, it's an inclusion body disease. And they found the virus for it here now. And this is, you probably want to get her, Tyron Hook of San Jose, California, with her pet boa constrictor, Larry.
Oh.
Who was first diagnosed with it. And
let me see, is he in a knot there?
No, not at that time. Wow,
that is a big snake.
He's fine. That's another thing.
Okay, I'm going to hang on to that.
Inclusion,
thank you.
Inclusion disease in pythons. Because you've gone through a lot of material here.
Yeah, well, we haven't really gotten too deep into reptiles or blood-sucking insects.
Yeah.
So those are, might call those blind spots.
I got more here. I don't want to burden you with some of this stuff. Lithium, where's the lithium in the universe? You know that one?
I've been asking myself that question for quite some time.
According to the Big Bang, there was lithium at the Big Bang.
Really?
It's not found in sufficient quantities in the universe now. And so it's like the missing. It's better than dark matter missing.
Huh.
Where is the lithium?
Where is the lithium?
Is that a show?
All right,
hand it over. That is so much a show. And dolphins, sonar skill. Fake jellyfish swims for real. Hand this stuff to you.
Okay.
I was looking at some of the, where did I put that? List of recent shows that you've done. The Yellow Rain is like the biggest one.
Oh,
that was the most requested.
Yeah, that was the one we just released a couple days ago. Story of the years after the Vietnam War. There was, as the American troops left, there was some, as a village or a race of people, Hmong villagers, mm-hmm. who were very supportive of the United States and then got retaliated against by the communist governments. Mm-hmm. And so it was a question of whether or not chemical weapons were used mm-hmm. on those people. So we look into that question.
Yeah.
And it created quite a stir. If you go to our website, you'll see a lot of angry people mm-hmm. yelling at us.
Yeah.
But, we try our best.
Yeah. No, excellent. Your own background is you're actually a composer.
Yeah. I started out as a musician and somehow fell through the side door into this crazy world. Mm-hmm. And it still feels like music in some way to me, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's journalism and reporting and storytelling, it all somehow walks hand in hand with the composer and me too.
Yeah. And you were soundtracks mostly? Or?
Yeah. I used to write music for films and for
what
theater.
What films would we know that you...
Soundtrack. You wouldn't know the films I worked on because they never really went anywhere.
Yeah.
There was one called Peroxide Passion, which... I'll
Peroxide
spare you the
Passion.
Plot details.
I think I saw it.
It was a... It needed music, that's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, they must tell you what the film is about.
Oh, I watched the film.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about it. I remember there was a woman in it who was in a sitcom that was on TV for a second.
Yeah.
And that's really all I can tell you. My memory has wiped everything.
Sorry, so you get Peroxide Passion. Is it a romance or a...
It was a Rocco, yeah.
Yeah. And so then, all right, now, so what do you... Now, you've got that, you know, what the story's about. You've seen the film or something. And then how do you weave music to that?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know because I ended up not being very good at it. I would try to write music for films, and I would love it, and the filmmakers would not, and so it became a little bit of a situation where I was like, I think I can write music, but maybe just not for other people, because then you're like a graphic designer, you're trying to design solutions for problems, and I wasn't good at that part of it.
Yeah.
So
you got rejected, but
I got rejected.
Blonde? I mean, that's
the road to radio is littered with rejection.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Was there a film or a score that you're actually proud of?
No, I did some dance pieces. I did some music for some dance pieces, which I am proud of.
Yeah.
That all of 12 people saw.
Yeah.
Deep in the heart of Brooklyn somewhere.
Yeah. Now, your mom, is she a biochemist?
Yeah. Mom's a molecular biologist.
Your dad's a doctor?
Dad's a doctor. Did some research on
obesity.
Are
they a little disappointed in you?
You know, in the last few years, as the show's kind of taken off, they feel like they sort of do what you just did. Every time I come home, they're like, you got to do a story about epinephrine. Epinephrine. It's amazing. And so I get
I'll take all that.
No. This is great. This is great. So I get a lot of like biochemical pitches from my mother now.
Biochemical?
Yeah.
Anything particular? Epinephrine is the big one.
That was just a word that came out of my mouth. No, actually,
I read she was doing something
more...
with taxis through membranes or something.
Yes, lipids, fatty acid transport, riveting stuff.
Yeah. That didn't appeal to you as something you might want to go into.
Well, some of it is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like I'll tell you, she, I could launch into a story about a particular protein, and I'll wait to see when your eyes glaze over.
No,
so I'm going to read your face as
like
I speak.
This. Honestly,
she discovered or discovered the function of a particular protein that ferries when you eat fatty food, the fat has to get into the cells,
right.
And it was thought for many years that the fat just kind of just osmosifies right into the center, but it turns out it needs a little. Like, who is that guy on the River Styx who canoes you across the river?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Needs one of those guys to get the fat into the cell.
Yeah.
And she discovered that protein. It's called CD36.
She discovered it.
Well, she didn't really discover it. It was there.
Yeah.
But she isolated it, figured out what it does.
Oh, cool.
And what it does is it rows the fat into the cell.
Yeah.
So now CD36, it's like a member of the family.
So, I mean, did you originally start out going into one of the medical sciences, or
no? I as a consequence, I ran in the opposite direction. Oh, I did music because, you know, that's what kids do, right?
Yeah,
they run the other way. And then
Oberlin, is that where you went?
Yeah, Oberlin. And then somehow I stumbled into science on my own terms and kind of brought me back into the fold, so to speak.
Yeah. They used to say to me when I started doing stuff, you're like, you're too fast for the room. You know, I had to slow. Especially when I went to WGN in Chicago, I said, "You know, you're too fast for the room. You got to slow down because you know people are, you know." Are you ever accused of being too smart for the room?
Me? No. Are you saying I'm being too smart right now?
No, I think you're a pretty smart guy. Now, you're generally thought of as being a pretty smart guy. Isn't it necessary to dumb down somewhat to do radio?
Dumb down? No.
No.
I think you gotta use metaphor and analogy, and you gotta like tell a story, and you gotta make it seductive, and you gotta draw people into it. I hate to think of it as dumbing down.
It isn't. Not at all. Actually.
But it's like a nomenclature thing. Yeah. Like when you cover science, you end up with things called DAF16, you know, which is a genetic thing.
Yeah.
But it actually does a very cool thing. It'll extend the life of a worm 6 times, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
But why do they have to call it DAF16?
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of my job is to just replace those nouns.
Yeah.
And say, okay, let's not call it DAF. Let's call it the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So that's I don't know.
And then Krawitch puts on the Groucho glasses. And
exactly. Then Krawitch
takes
Krawitch
it from there. The so it's like a 1-2 punch. You got it. You go after the intellect, and he goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He works it.
So to speak. Yeah.
Okay. What a Slinky Nose. One of your big hits. Recent hits.
We did a story about. Have you ever seen these videos? This is where radio loses.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you go online right now to YouTube, you can see a video of a slinky falling. Engineers.
I have seen that.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have seen that.
These engineers, dangle giant slinkies, like 100-foot-long slinkies, off the top buildings.
Yeah, I've
and they
seen
let
that.
Go. And what you would expect to happen, or at least what I would expect to happen, is that the slinky would fall all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a collective object down to the ground. What ends up happening is the top falls and the bottom hovers like a magic carpet. And the top just kind of goes down, 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 then bam, hits the bottom and they all fall together.
Isn't that cool?
It was asking a question like, why is the bottom of the slinky hovering in air?
Mm.
Which leads you to questions of fate and free will. And and are we the bottom of the slinky?
Yeah.
That we don't know that the top's coming to get us, and yet it's coming.
Yeah.
There's a set of things in motion already, Michael.
Yeah.
It's flowing through time toward us, and we have no idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, such thoughts
flow
from
the intellect really has nothing to do with this, then, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's just a more emotion and a spiritual sense.
Yeah, well, it's some new,
what is philosophy. The scientific explanation for why that happens?
Well, it's an idea in physics called locality, which is that... information has to travel through the coil in order to get to the bottom. And the bottom doesn't even know that anything is happening until the tiny piece of metal right above the bottom contracts. And it's only then that the bottom knows. So the information has to travel down, 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 down through the slinky.
Yeah.
All the while, the bottom is like, I'm cool. I'm just here. I'm just floating. Yeah. So it has an interesting thing to say about the idea of consequence, that you can't sort of see consequences coming.
When you, like the verb knows.
Knows is an interesting word to use.
With a K, personally. I mean. The bottom doesn't... It knows in the sense of how would a slinky bottom know?
Well, it's like the information, in terms of information arriving to the slinky.
Yeah, but what's a slinky going to do with information? I mean, it knows in the... There's some physical thing going on.
Well, have you ever seen a slinky on a treadmill?
No.
There are great videos on YouTube of slinkies on treadmill.
No, I've got to look at it.
They go zoop, 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 zoop. They go forever. And it's like you swear the thing is alive.
Yeah.
It could know something.
All right, then you're going to like this fake jellyfish swims for a real thing here. Franken jelly. You've probably heard about this one.
I have not.
All right, well, these guys, they took a... they made an artificial jellyfish. They made the form here, which is
how
a jellyfish.
How did they make an artificial jellyfish?
Form. Well, they just made it out of plastic or something like that. You know, 8 arm-like structures of an elastic silicone polymer. And they filled it with rat heart cells.
Really?
This is the cool part.
Wow.
See, you're gonna, I know you're going to use this.
I'm all over this.
This is perfect. They filled it with rat heart cells, and then they put it in a tank of water, and they introduce a... electric current, the rat cells actually grow into a layer of muscle, and it begins swimming in the same motion that an actual jellyfish uses.
No kidding. That's pretty freaking
That's
cool.
for you.
Okay. That's really cool.
Yes. That's all yours. I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this.
We've done a whole show on synthetic biology, you know, these people cooking up life in kitchens, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Which ones have you covered in that one?
Well, there is E. coli bacteria now that some scientists in Boston have managed to tinker with the insides of so that it produces oil.
Oh, yeah, cool.
The bacteria that can cough out oil, so one day could solve our oil problems.
That could be
or kill us.
Yeah. Guts.
Guts.
Did the whole show on guts. That takes guts.
In the 19th century, people used to think that... that your soul was in your bowels, you know, your humors, your passions resulted from your abdomen. So it was an interesting thought that kind of got us into this idea of like, you know, the gut as a second brain, all of these, all this bacteria. Like there's exciting.
For the French, it's the liver, isn't it?
The liver?
The liver is the could source be. Of everything for the French.
Yeah, it could be. Yep. There's some of the really exciting research that's happening right now is into the ecosystems that live in our intestines.
The flora and the...
Yeah, and the stuff that's in there is pretty crazy.
Are there fauna with the flora? I don't think so. Probably.
There might be, if you get a parasite, right? Yeah. Or fauna's like an animal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully no fauna. Yeah. Definitely flora.
So what'd you do in the gut once you're in there?
Well, you know, there's the biggest wellspring of pre-serotonin in our bodies is in our guts. So this bacteria will feed on it.
Okay, pre-serotonin, let's just back up a little here.
Yeah, well, it's not quite serotonin.
That's the stuff in potatoes that makes you happy or something. Right,
serotonin. Kind of. It's the stuff that right before that gets converted into the stuff that makes you happy.
Yeah.
That stuff is in your gut, and there's a vagus nerve which travels from your gut to your head, to your brain. So these bacteria can eat up this stuff and just tickle the nerve and mess with your mood. So they've done experiments where you give a person a lot of yogurt, and it has the same effect as Prozac type drugs in terms of regulating your mood. So it's an interesting thing to think that these little bugs that are like, you know, that are living in the hotel of us are messing with our happiness or lack of.
Now in doing this, then do you actually recreate? Do you do like?
Do we make the sound of the bugs?
Colonoscopies or something, in the studio, because you're on radio, you could get away with that.
Yeah, we use sort of like sound design and radio imaginative techniques to create the world of our
insides.
So
it's like Fantastic Voyage, like you're traveling through the gut or something.
It's like what if Magic School Bus were filtered through the French surrealists? It would be like that. That's what it would sound like.
That's just what I was thinking. That's the way I would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
If I would have thought of that. And then inside, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were looking at that. That particular episode was about the problem of talking about pain. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever, like, you try to describe to somebody, your wife, like, oh, my back hurts.
Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it anyway.
She doesn't want to hear it.
No.
Because there's no way for her to really feel what you're feeling. It's a kind of, there's an empathy
gap. Not even
an
attempt. Not even an attempt.
Yeah, so you don't even go there. So this problem is particularly acute with pain scales in hospitals.
Right.
Because they say, how bad is your pain? And you say, it's a 3, but what does a 3 mean even?
Right.
Three out of what? What is
or
a
3 to one person is a 10 to another.
Yeah. So we look at a couple of different people who have tried to make real usable pain scales. Mm-hmm. Like one guy went around the world getting stung by every insect he could possibly find. Mm-hmm. You know, really big, you know, tarantulas and various things. So he could create an insect sting pain scale.
Really?
For other entomologists.
Who is that?
What kind of bugs?
No, who was the guy?
Oh, Justin Schmidt, I think his name was. And if you look at these insects, some of them are about the size of your forearm.
Is he a researcher or is he just a crazy guy?
Well, he's a little bit of both, but mostly a researcher. But you kind of have to be a little bit.
So he went around the world getting stung by everything he could get stung
by. And just to make an accurate pain scale. Another guy, this is kind of interesting. You might find this interesting. Where is the sort of the quintessential place where you can't articulate one another's pain?
Well, just about anywhere. I mean, you might like a
childbirth.
Childbirth, yes.
Okay, that's where it's okay, like us men, we can't go there.
Okay, right.
So,
I thought you were getting personal.
Well, no. I don't know about you, but my wife holds that over me. She's a very understated lady.
Yeah,
but she's like,
you'll
never know.
You'll never know.
You'll never understand.
Yeah.
So,
I talked to her about prostate, you know, you got to get up like 3 times in the night. She'll never understand that. So, you know, we're even as far as I can.
Careful.
So, childbirth goes away and the prostate just stays with you.
It's true. Well, you do have to factor time into this, you know. Yes. Anyhow, some guys in the 40s got it into their heads that they wanted to conquer this lack of pain empathy gap when it comes to childbirth. So they would they recruited some women who were pregnant, and during childbirth, they basically between contractions, you know, you've got like a minute or two from one to the next, they would rush in with a heat gun, and they would put the heat gun on the woman's forearm, and they'd say, okay, that last contraction, how bad was it? Was it like this?
Oh, my God.
Or was it like this?
Oh, my God.
I know, sadistic, right?
Horrible.
Awful. But there was this, you know, I appreciate the impulse to try and
why
understand.
Why would you appreciate that impulse?
It's just, there's 1% of that makes sense to me. I wouldn't want to inflict any of that pain.
That's like a Nazi
experiment.
Don't
you want to know? You want to know?
No.
Wouldn't you want to have some device you can hook yourself to?
Why inflict more pain on the poor old?
Anyhow, so that was that episode. It was a hilarious attempt.
Did you get some letters or anything on that? Or some feedback?
Not so much.
No. No, really?
Not so much on that one.
I thought you were going to say something where you tried to inflict pain on men that was comparable to what the women were going through.
No. But I tell you what, there was a really good solution we ran to with pain, which was the what would you give up scale. So if you're in pain right now, what would you give up to make the pain go away? Would you give up a year of your life?
That's good.
Would you give up your car?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that somehow can connect people.
That'd be interesting, actually.
Yeah.
None of it works, of course. But, now, the whole thing you did a whole thing on space. I mean, space covers a lot of ground, obviously.
Yeah.
And when you cover something as spatial as space, I mean, and you got what, an hour?
Yeah.
And you're on the radio, so you can't do visuals and stuff. So how do you even approach space? How do you enter space?
We could actually just have the sound of space.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually, when you hear those things.
So what do we do with space? We had, the Voyager record, you know about this?
Yes.
1977, the Voyager capsule was launched in space.
Oh, yeah, I was there when they launched it.
Yeah,
you remember that? BGs, put BGs on the 45.
Yeah, they put all the stuff on the record.
Yeah.
So we talked about the record. We talked about Annie Druyan, who's Carl Sagan's widow, part of that team who sent it out into space.
Yeah. So we had to look back. I forget what was on the record. I thought BGs might have been on there.
Oh, all kinds of... Maybe the Bee Gees were on there.
Saturday Night Fever.
They should have been on there.
Yeah.
Whale sounds were on there.
That's right.
Some Chinese music was on there. I think Ray Charles was on there.
Cool.
So they sent that out to space. So we kind of asked, you know...
And the Voyager now is actually leaving...
Yes!
Right now.
It could actually, right now, like right in this moment, could be popping out of the bubble at the outer edge of our solar system.
They're into exospace or whatever that's called.
Yeah. It's actually quite interesting. Just hit me on the head if I geek out too much. There's the solar system turns out to be a bubble. And the outer edge of the bubble turns out to be really thick. So right now the Voyager capsule is in the real estate that is the edge of our solar system. So it's in the edge of the edge.
Yeah.
It's in the sort of membrane, kind of just hovering there, and it could at any moment just pop out.
Yeah.
At that point.
Now, when you say there is like a membrane, like, or what actually would that be in terms of physicality, if any? What would cause that?
The wind from the sun is what inflates the bubble. It blows it out, inflates it. I don't know exactly why the membrane has a firmness to it, but it's stuck there. Mm. It's actually not moving very fast, so they don't know what's going to happen.
It's stuck there?
It's kind of, yeah, it's moving at
Voyager pretty much, stuck there?
Yeah, it's moving at pretty much no speed right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's shocking. You mean it's because it was going...
It was going pretty fast, and then suddenly it just stopped.
You're kidding.
And it's stuck in this thing called the stagnation layer, and they don't really know what's going to happen to it.
I guess it happens to all of us at a certain point, but I didn't think...
Yeah, there's some...
And there's the other one, too, Explorer, which I think went in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. You don't hear much about Explorer.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that one.
Discovery. Well, that's very cool. And so then how did you work with that in terms of a radio?
We interviewed people who tried to describe to us what it is like out there, which it's really hard to know or understand because they talk in terms of particles and solar winds and various things. But, you know, it for me, it was really exciting to think, like, you know, it's that first moment when mankind leaves our neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's like moving out of the house,
you
know, and going to college. And that first time you show up in the dorm and you're freaking out. Like, I can't even, what's the Voyager experiencing right now?
Yeah.
It can't really experience anything because it's like the Slinky. But still,
the
idea that it's sort of venturing into new terrain is really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And somewhere, I mean, and there's supposed to be such a thing as music of the spheres. There actually is supposed to be a vibration that's audible. You actually hear something out there, apparently.
That's what Kepler thought, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently it's true. But somewhere I read that there's actually a smell.
To
space.
Wow. I do. But there's no air in space.
There's a smell.
Hmm. Who told you this?
There's a smell. I read it somewhere. It was in Science News or one of these things. Might have been Science News. So someone said the smell. I'm not sure what it is, but vaguely like a mild burning tire.
Hmm. Okay.
It might be from all the spacecraft and stuff.
It could be.
But that's supposed to be a smell.
Kinda, it's hot out there.
No, this is a show idea for you.
Okay. Smell of space.
I want to thank you for joining us here. I know you got to go and get ready this next thing here. And that will be, once again, if you're in town here, at the Overture Center.
That's right. Tomorrow night at the Overture and tonight in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater.
Fantastic. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to meet you. Jad Abumrad, ladies and gentlemen. From Radiolab. He's the man. Oh. He's a smart guy. Okay. A lot to think about there, really. I'm thinking about the Slinky. I'm thinking about the smell of space.
That was captivating. I like that
You're
stuff.
Captivated?
I'm kind of a dork that way.
Which way are you a dork?
Lots of ways. But I like science fiction. So
this was science fact, though.
Well, some of it. The smell of space, science fact.
Well, it smells. Why wouldn't it have a smell? Everything else does.
I don't know. This is it's kind of tenuous. Your source is a little.
What's
soft.
That got to do with anything? I don't have to. I'm not Radiolab. I don't need sources. This is entertainment. We don't have to prove anything here. What's happening now?
I don't know.
You guys gonna play a number?
If you'd like us to.
I'd like you to. What have you got? Did you work something out here?
This is just a little blues. We don't have a lot of time, so we'll go with our. Oh,
okay. All right. Take all the time you want, man. Stretch.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
Ornithology. I had no idea. Okay. David Robb is here. He went to the University of Wisconsin here in Madison for 25 years. And that's not even the record. Where is David? Here he is right here. You want to stand up and say hello, David? David Robb, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks. I needed a hug. It's too bad it was from you, but still, I needed one. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And did you finally get the degree then at that point?
After 25 years, yes, they did. Yeah. And the university and my major both waived a bunch of courses that I never took.
Yeah.
A lot of introductory courses.
What did you end up majoring in after 25 years?
Landscape architecture.
Cool. That would work out after 25 years. And are you working now in that field? And
no. No. No, I am. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You switch majors a number of times, I presume.
To get into certain areas, yeah. Yeah. To take a course, I had to get into journalism.
Yeah.
And then once I took the course, I got out of journalism and somewhere else. I actually had the major I declared for 9 years was architecture. Yeah. And my faculty advisor was Frank Lloyd Wright. And it took about 7 years before the computer or the person working on the computer actually plugged that in and got it to work. So my advisor was Frank Lloyd Wright, and he'd been dead for 20 years.
Oh. Well, congratulations. You made it
through. Thank you.
What a party that must have been. David Robb. Warren Beck is here from Boone, North Carolina. Law student, Warren Beck.
Right here.
Hey, Warren Beck, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I read War and Peace, and I read Warren Beck, I must say. How are you? Let's stand up here and just say hello. Law student, your question is, should I become an attorney? It's a little late to think about that, Warren.
I don't know. You know, you can do a lot of things with a law degree, so I'm hoping I don't have to be an attorney.
Well, maybe you should have gone to something else. Now, I think we got an advisor here for you. Rob here can give you some advice on changing majors if you want to explore a few different areas.
All right, I'll have to meet him after the show then. Yeah.
Have you thought about landscape architecture?
I never really enjoyed mowing the lawn growing up, so I don't know if that's for me, but maybe one of his other majors, so I don't know.
You know, I was going to go to law school for many years as my fallback when I was teaching. And I took the LSATs and all that stuff. And a friend of mine, Jeff Flash Feinblatt, said to me, he said, do you really want to be a lawyer? And I had never actually thought about it before. I thought, you know, probating wills and all this stuff. I thought, God, I don't want to do it. So I burned all my stuff. And I let the ashes stay in a bowl on the table. And every time I'd walk to the kitchen there, I saw there was law school. So I finally got past that whole law school thing.
Well, I'm not...
I might have to do that.
Yeah, would be a lot of money for books down the drain at this point if I burned them all, but maybe I don't think anybody else would want them now, so maybe I should
think about
them.
If you want to be a lawyer, though. That's...
I'll hang on to them if I decide to be an attorney, though. I won't burn them then.
All right. Nice to meet you. Good luck to you. I'm sure you'll do great. Anyway it goes, you're going to be a great lawyer. You don't have to do law if you're a lawyer. You can do other things. I got to go. We got to run here. We got to play the What Do You Know quiz, because otherwise we're not going to get a chance to do it, and that's very exciting. Katie, where were you going? What were you doing? Katie's running around here like it's TV or something. It's radio, Katie. You stay in one spot.
I'm back.
You're back. She's back. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try the math. The What Do You Know quiz. Chance for you to do what you may never have a chance to do again. And it's a very important... Yes? Okay. I guess so. She says so. You were recommended by the person sitting next to you.
She's my sister. She has to say that.
Your sister? Okay. Sisters. Well, that's good. You like each other and everything. And you are?
I'm Amanda Dobratz.
Amanda, are you from around here?
I grew up in Lake Mills, but I just moved back from living in Glasgow, Scotland for 8 years.
Oh, you did? Yeah. You got a little bit of the Scottish accent there.
A little bit when I talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Amanda, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Well, I used to listen to you when I was homesick and would get really weird looks on the bus when I cracked myself up.
In Scotland.
Oh,
how wonderful. That's the best reason yet. Riding a bus in Scotland. Yes, come on. Give her a little encouragement. Amanda, come up here. Have a seat.
Thank you.
What were you doing there in Scotland, Amanda?
I went to go to art school and kind of just stuck around for 8 years of graduate school.
Good art scene there?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Were you in Glasgow?
In Glasgow.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, actually, here it is. Yeah. Art and writing and all those things. Are very
It's fantastic,
big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what sorts of things were you working on while you were there?
I worked for an organization that helped students start businesses, so we went into entrepreneurship, and
cool.
I ran an artist studio called Iron Brats.
Oh, is that still going on?
It is, yeah. Some kids took it on in my set after I left, which is great.
Yeah, Was it hard to come back, or did you feel you needed to? Or
it
you...
was sad, but my husband is actually going to do an MFA at the U of M now, so
yeah.
We're getting into a different art scene in yeah. Minneapolis.
Well, how cool. That's really excellent. All from Lake Mills.
Yep.
Who would have thunk? Amanda from Lake Mills.
You never know.
That was really cool. Yeah. How did you make that leap, original leap from Lake Mills to Scotland?
I had a professor at the University of Wisconsin, Stout, that had gone to Edinburgh, and he suggested that I look abroad. Yeah. I thought, hey, I'll have an adventure. It'll be good.
Well, excellent, excellent, excellent. The rest of the family, are they artistic as well? Your sister, is she in the arts?
She's crocheting.
She's crocheting. I noticed that, yeah. She hasn't gotten very far.
She's a scientist, though, so there's crossovers.
Oh, cool. Mm. All right, Amanda, someone out there plays along with you, and I think you're overqualified for this quiz, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. And Katie, what are those categories? Oh, no.
No, we want someone to call,
that's right?
Right?
That's right.
All right. But sorry. Now, should they wait for the qualifying question?
How do they get on the
time?
Quiz, I guess is the question.
Well,
they're already on there, Katie. I mean, this is just a farce.
I see.
It's a farce at this point.
It's just for show. But just in case. In case that whole bank of people fails, you could still call in.
Well, why don't you tell us how?
Here's how.
This is an encore performance of What Do You Know, so keep that quarter in your pocket. Call us next week.
And this is the qualifying question.
See, there it is. Okay, yeah. I knew there wasn't. Up, down, strange, charmed, and bottom are all what, is the question. Those of you of a scientific bent may know this one. Hopefully you will. Hey, well, what? Who? What'd you say? Clayton?
Physics.
Get out of here. Science. Science is physics. What's your point? Where the hell were you, Clayton? Earlier I had a thing I wanted to give to you. DNA from Sephardic tribes. I wanted to show that to you, and you weren't here.
Siblings.
We were going to swab your cheeks, even matched. Now you didn't show up in time. Now, don't interrupt the show again, Clayton. I don't care if you're my older brother or not, Mr. California physician. What would you say, dear?
Was I saying something?
Yes. You said how they could call in.
Yes.
But they already have. And this is the question.
They're waiting,
the question.
Waiting for your question.
Up, down, strange, charmed, and bottom are all what? Let's say a word, Clayton. I always have the last word, Clayton. Phil's on the line from Brookfield, Connecticut. Hey, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah? How's your day starting out good? Are you?
Yes, got all my errands done, and just laying back and listening to the show.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Up, down, strange, charmed, and bottom are all what?
I take a guess, probably some sea creature or in the ocean that swims around. That's all I can think of.
Well, that's close. They're quarks. So we're going to give that to you, Phil. They're quarks in physics. Very similar. Very similar. So we're going to let you have that one, Phil, because I like you.
Oh, thank you.
And you got all your errands done. And, you know, this is not Radio Lab. We don't prove anything here.
That was generous.
No, not really. So, Phil, are you retired now, Phil? Are you still working?
Yes, I'm retired. And I'm sitting here recuperating from a hernia operation.
Oh, you did. How'd that go? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Pretty standard.
Yeah. Do you miss it?
I missed a hernia.
Yeah.
I don't know about the recovery. The first part of the recovery is a little rough. But
oh, you'll be good.
I'm coming through.
You'll be good.
Yes.
And you'll be back out there. You play golf or anything like that? Or?
I'm a big workout person.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I do a lot of jogging.
Is that how you got it in the first place?
I believe that's what I did.
Yeah. You got to do something a little more aerobic, a little less, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you'll be fine. Phil, this is Amanda.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Amanda.
She's your partner in crime here now. The two of you work together, and you team up on all these questions and answers, okay?
Okay.
You good? Okay.
Yes.
Amanda, you ready?
Yep.
Katie, what do we got there in terms of categories?
Okay, categories. Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, odds, and ends.
Okay, Phil, I'll let you take the first one. What would you like?
Oh, odds and ends.
Odds and ends it is. Okay. Do hermit crabs have building codes?
Oh, I would say
I heard this on Radio Lab, so I think it's probably.
I would have to say yes.
You say yes, Amanda?
I'll agree with you, Phil. I know they find their
shows. Yes, they do. They have it's very important. When they remodel, they find shows and they remodel them, and they have to be done to a certain criteria. they secrete on shells that they find, and it's very important that they be done right.
That's one right.
Okay, woo. Cool. What's left there?
Hooray.
Katie?
Left, you have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and science.
People, comma, places. People.
Yes.
Yes. Amanda?
Can we have science, please?
You can have science, please.
Thank you.
Okay. See, that didn't sound like Lake Mills at all. Do dung beetles walk, trot, or gallop?
Does it depend on where they're going?
Or probably what they're carrying. You know, sometimes they have a heavy load, those dung beetles.
What do you think, Phil?
I don't believe they walk. I would say okay. Run.
You would say walk. So that leaves trot or gallop.
Trot or gallop. I would say trot.
Or gallop.
Yeah.
Maybe they gallop because they're carrying things like horses and they need to go faster. I don't know.
Carrying things like horses?
Yeah, horses gallop. I don't know. They need to go faster.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So they're carrying dung or something.
They pretty much carry dung, I think. So you're saying trot or gallop? Which, Phil, Amanda?
I would say gallop, Phil. What do you think?
Okay, I really don't know, but I'll go along with your answer.
Yes, gallop, the only known insect that actually gallops.
Yay.
They get support from those, and then they... Oh, they can move, too, yeah.
That's super exciting.
It is very exciting.
Because now you have two right and none wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Katie?
So left, you have current events, people, comma, places, things you should have learned in school.
Well, sensitive, aren't we? I'm just trying to help.
Just trying to be clear.
Just trying to help. Okay, it's back to Phil, then. What would you like, Phil?
Okay, current events.
Okay, current events right out of the news. No. Okay. She looks much the same, although she's, it's before that wistful, world-weary smile set in. Who is she in the news right now?
Ooh.
Yes. In other words, we've seen her for many, very familiar face we've seen for many years, and now there's another edition of this particular face in a younger version. And who are we talking about here?
I would think the Queen of England.
Well, no.
The Queen of England only has one face.
Let's just throw that one out for a minute. And we're talking, I guess we have to say this is art in the art world.
Oh, the Mona Lisa.
Oh. Is it the, in that church in Italy where the lady...
No, that's a different story entirely. That's a good one, though.
Okay.
What'd you say, Phil? I think I heard you say
something.
Did you
say at the beginning of the
Mona Lisa?
Yeah. You said something at the beginning of the show.
So you're saying
about
the Kardashian Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh, the Kardashian girl.
The earlier Mona Lisa painting. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yay.
Oh, yes.
We won.
That was almost too easy, though. Wasn't it?
It was too easy.
Beautiful.
It was too easy.
Oh.
So they could stop here, couldn't they? But they could go on for the whole shebang, couldn't they?
They could go on for the mother load.
The mother load.
Yes, because they've gotten three right.
Yeah. So how would they do that?
I think they would continue on answering questions, right?
You mean to get the next two right out of the three possibilities?
I thought they only had to get one more.
Well, we're doing...
for the mother load, three in a row, right? And
then
four or five to win the mother load.
Well, let's just see what happens.
I shouldn't get ahead of myself.
Do you want to go on and try for the mother load?
Yeah, I've never won a mother load.
Phil, have you ever won a mother load?
I'm on board.
So they're going to go on for it. Okay, and what's left there?
Okay, well...
I think three categories.
I was going to say, I've messed up somewhere.
No,
so you all help me out. We have current events, right? And we have...
No.
Oh,
that was
see?
Current.
Okay, so now I know what we have left, because we have people.
Yeah.
Places,
yeah.
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay, those three categories.
That's it.
And we go to, it's Amanda's.
Okay. Can we have things we should have learned in school?
Things we should have learned in school. Okay. Do stoners have lower IQs, or does it just seem that way? This was a study of stoners.
I think I read about this and that they do if they have prolonged usage.
Okay. Phil?
Hi. I don't know. I think the opposite, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Were you a stoner back in school, Phil? Is that what?
No.
So, but she seems pretty sure that she saw this.
I think I remember reading a story about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to go along with you.
Yes, that's right. 8 points lower, but that's if they start in middle school. If they start in high school, they're all right. Congratulations.
Yay.
What is it?
They're going to get a bunch of prizes. Amanda is going to be ready for whatever little accidents may come her way with a handy pair of disposable unisex emergency underpants from Archie McPhee. Super awesome since 1983. And then, because she won the mother load, she gets to test her powers of deduction with signed copies of Jack Pachuta's book, 5-Minute Mysteries, 11 Challenging Whodunits, from mysteriesonthenet.com. Also, secure your place at the karaoke bar with the bottle charm, Beer Makes Me a Good Singer, from Say Cheese Designs, and ignore the declining hours of daylight playing What Do You Know, the party game, including contestants, questions, and fantastic audience members, along with the classic Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Now, for Phil. Phil, are you there?
Yes.
Your coin collection will be the envy of the neighborhood with a limited edition faux sterling silver jubilee anniversary quarter designed by Nora Feldman and featuring the founding father of What Do You Know Country, as well as the rare and beautiful Feldmingo. Then, because you won the mother load, take a hilarious grand tour of planet Earth with Don't Know Much About Geography, Everything You Need to Know About the World But Never Learned by Kenneth C. Davis from Perennial Books. Sort out your trains of thought with a pair of ring-bound study cards, notebooks from Mindology.com. Spread the news of your quiz victory using a set of assorted Wienermobile postcards from MarshaSparks.com. And listen to the sounds of a quiet city. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Well done, Amanda. Very nice to meet you. Congratulations on all you're doing. Phil, hang on for just a second. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests Ben Taylor and Jad Abumrad. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.